Off the ball.
Rugby.
I think if you put Crowley's defence in Prendergast's attack, you'd have a really, really, really great player.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Welcome along. It is Tuesday's Off the Ball. All day I've been tempted to say Monday. But here we are, the Tuesday after a bank holiday at the end of October. It's been a crazy weekend in sport. We're going to talk to a teenager from Limerick, Ava Crean, who expected she was going to do the double marathon in 3 hours 15. No, did it in just over 2 hours 30. Second fastest ever run in the Dublin Marathon by a woman. She's just 19 years of age. We're also going to meet her coach, who bizarrely enough started running at 35. And last year he completed all 6 of the major marathons in 2 hours 30. He is one of the fastest men in the world over the age of 45. So we'll talk to them in the next hour. You'll also get to meet the man who is managing the Palestine Sevens rugby team, which was cobbled together for a Sevens tournament in Oman. But he is from Drogheda. He decided he wanted to do something for Palestine. He became their national rugby coach just a few weeks ago. And we're going to talk about soccer. Lots about Celtic. Dermot Desmond has hit back at Brendan Rodgers after Rodgers' resignation. Martin O'Neill, at the age of 72, is back in charge at Parkhead. But for how long? John Broome will be with us on the football show. And Graham Hunter joins us. Bellingham coming to the fore again. A big week for him. He scored the winner in the Clásico. Madrid, 5 points clear. He's going to be with us at 7:30. We're also going to be keeping an eye on Republic of Ireland women's team, who are in action against Belgium away from home. They've gone to Flanders with a 4-2 lead after the game at the Aviva. The big news on that one, before we bring in Rachel Sheehan and Ben Symes, that Ireland are unchanged from the game on Friday. That means cap number 100 for captain Katie McCabe. And the Ireland team is Grace Maloney in goal, again deputising. Aoife Mannion, Caitlin Hayes, Jessie Sable and Chloe Moustaki at the back. You've got McCabe, Roisin Littlejohn, Denise O'Sullivan, who are going to be in midfield. And then an attacking duo, really, of the two Irish-Americans, Marissa Shiva, Kira Caruso and Emily Murphy are going to lead the line. Carla Ward also saying going into this game that Ireland have to attack. They're not sitting on a two-goal lead. They're going to try and beat Belgium and get back into the top flight of the Nations League for the next time round. But as I'd say, we've got two debutants on the news round tonight, and Ben Symes and Rachel Sheehan. Ben, first of all, how are you keeping?
Kim well, Will. How are you?
And Rachel Sheehan, a resident Corkonian. How are you?
Very good, Will. Thanks very much.
The reason I bring that up is because Ben went to Cork. And what brought you to Cork, Ben?
The one and only, the world famous Cork Jazz Festival. Yeah, pretty good weekend. It's my second jazz festival, paying my respects to the patron saint of Cork.
Are you a jazz aficionado then?
I wouldn't say that much. I would say there's no piece of jazz that I've heard that I haven't enjoyed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be able to sit here and rattle off jazz musicians off the top of my head. But
give me two.
I'll leave that to next week.
Okay. Miles Davies. And then after that, you kind of go, Ray Charles, maybe. Rachel, you're from the home of the Jazz Festival.
Yes,
which is like not just a weekend, because a few of our other colleagues were out on Wednesday night at the Jazz Festival. So this is wrap around a week now at this stage.
It does. It's grown legs. You know, it used to just be the long weekend, but now things kick off pretty early. You've people flying in, and I couldn't get down. You know, I had to be up in Dublin for a while, but managed it down on Friday and saw it out until last night. So if there's a slight rasp in my voice, it's not me trying to be jazzy on air. It's just a few of the after effects.
You've done very well to make it through. Was it 3 nights, 4 nights?
3.
3, okay. That's a pretty decent round number. You can't hold on in All-Ireland Finals, it seems, this year, but you can do a fine jazz festival.
Well, I thought I'd put those to bed.
I also thought it was enough distance since July I could actually say that.
No, never.
Right. Okay, so Ben, your weekend was not to waste in Cork. That is the moral of the story here.
Yeah, moral of the story, not to waste. Plenty of jazz, plenty of sport being watched as well, what has gone on, so.
Yeah. What were you watching?
A Clásico was the big one.
Yeah.
On Sunday. Is a bit disappointed. There was a great opening half was brilliant.
I like this because, let's full disclosure, we're talking to Graham Hunter just before we come on air because he was getting ready for the football for tonight. I made that point to him. I said, this is feisty. Probably the most kind of entertaining from a purely neutral, watching them going at each other probably since late Mourinho time at Real Madrid. Had that bit of edge, had a massive fight at the end. I thought the quality was a little bit lower even than last season. Like, it was a game of 30 shots, there was loads of goals given away. But the reality is that it was a half-injured Barcelona team against a Real Madrid team who weren't much better.
Yeah, that was my disappointment with it. Like, it was one of those things, it did bring back the fieriness that kind of, when I was growing up anyway and I was watching El Clásicos, they were the teams I was watching. It was feisty teams, it was feisty stuff. But nowadays when you're going to watch that game, it's funny, it's one of those games that whenever it comes around, you always watch it. No matter what, like, there was Premier League on time and you were not watching it. Like, you're watching a Clasico. It still kind of has that grow and it has that pull for you. But I was a bit let down. It's one of those things when you're going to watch it, you are watching for the quality. You're not watching for the end, like, obviously you're watching for the entertainment value, but you are watching for that top level football on display. I was a bit disappointed, a little bit let down. Yeah. It was entertaining, but the quality was probably not what I was looking for.
You won't be let down when Graham Hunter comes on. Graham's enthusiasm for El Clasico has not waned in any way, despite the game we saw on Sunday afternoon at the Bernabeu. For your text, 087-9180-180, if you want to WhatsApp us, you can, of course, text us the normal way, N53106 as well. And we will keep an eye on your comments on YouTube over the next few minutes here on the News Round as well. Last week, word on the street, Rachel, you guys were talking about the marathon. And, like, I was so shocked by this story on Sunday because I had a few friends who were running it and I was primarily watching it for their times and finding if they actually finished at the end of it. And then I flicked on the news and I saw Ava Crean from Limerick, who comes in, like, the most emotional finisher I've ever seen, comes in just over 2 hours 30. And then you do a little bit of reading about her, and I saw Carl Dennehy's piece, which he'd written after the race as well. Like, she takes her first competitive run in Manchester at the marathon this year.
Yeah, absolutely immense. Like, when you hear marathon, you're thinking, oh, these people are putting in 12 months prep just for this specific one, not something that they've just taken up in the last couple of months. What was fantastic as well is when she went over to Manchester, she had a time, I think she beat her time by about 40 minutes that she'd planned to do. So it's like, what was happening in the middle of that race that you just, she kicked on so much? And even the same, like, she had a PB by about 9 minutes for the Dublin Marathon. And fair play to her, because she said the race didn't go, like, super smoothly. She's like, it was like the most lactic acid she could ever felt building up throughout it. But absolutely amazing to do that at 19. I suppose marathon running is something that you probably associate with more seasoned competitors. You know, people that have seen the track before, but to do that at 19... incredible.
Yeah. Well, look, Amory McGlynn, who is the defending champion, and she had a really hard run up to it. And I'd listened back to the interviews that we had from just the weekend gone by, because a member of her family had passed away last week, which was very difficult personally for her. Then she put up an injury right before the marathon itself. So she was determined to run, still finished in second place at the age of 45. So generally, marathon runners can get really good into their late 30s, early 40s. It's remarkable when someone at 19 can do this and set such a pace as well. We will have our coach, John Kinsella, with us as well, just after 8 o'clock. And John is the most remarkable of stories. So, didn't run until he was 35. It's a bit overweight, decided I'm going to give this a go. And then basically gets the bug. Decided, I'll throw myself in for the Boston Marathon. Runs it in less than 3 hours the first time he runs it. Thinks, do you know what, actually, I might be quite good at this running crack. He did the 6 majors last year, Ben. Ran them all in just about 2 hours 30, which is incredible.
It's something that you hear and you kind of go, Jesus, what am I doing myself, like? You know, that sort of way. Or you watch someone who's 19 run it and you're going, God, what was I doing when I was 19? Certainly wasn't running marathons, like,
no.
You know? And it kind of does, it gives you that little, I suppose, bit of inspiration that, you know, someone who wasn't running them can run them in this sort of pace. And like I said, someone who was just sitting on the couch can go, you know what, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this. It is that marathons are kind of great for that sort of thing, and that anyone can sort of do them if you put your mind to it and you put in the training. And look, if you cross the line and 2.5 hours, you cross the line, 7 hours, it doesn't really make all that difference. It's the fact that you get up and do it. And it does, it gives you, like you said, that bug. Like, it, I feel like if you got up and did one, you'd go on and do plenty more. Like, to especially, I know he's done those 6, and I think he's in the top 10 or top 15, isn't he?
Yep, top 10 for over 35s of all time to have done all 6.
Yeah, like, it doesn't get much more inspirational than that, does it? Like,
he's off to join the Ireland mountain running team next. It's like, flatland, not good enough for me. Got
yeah,
up a mountain.
As if a marathon wasn't impressive enough.
You know? That's like those ultra marathoners. Like, there's a few, I remember chatting to them and they kind of go, yeah, you know, marathons were great. I did a few in successive days. Then I decided I had to do an Ironman challenge. Then I had to do 32 and 32 days. I remember talking to a guy doing before. It's just, again, these people are, I think, wired slightly differently, that they're able to get through that type of adversity and not have recovery and decide I'm going to run through the pain. But yeah, crazy stuff. But from talking to a few people, including Amory Donnan, a newsreader with us here from time to time, popped her knee about 10 miles into the race and just kept going. And said the big thing was the atmosphere that was in Dublin the weekend just gone by. There were so many people cheering along the sidelines and so on, that even when you're struggling and you're kind of running or jogging for a little distance, you get that little adrenaline kick. And that just pushes you on for the last few miles of the race. So I think credit to anyone who finished. You know, whatever time you come in on, especially if it was your first one, the most important thing was getting over the line. The news round here on Off the Ball as well is with thanks to UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in the action. We mentioned the Republic of Ireland getting ready for that game. 7:30, Ireland unchanged, captain 100 for Katie McCabe. But Martin O'Neill as well has been speaking this afternoon in a few different places, because something quite remarkable happened yesterday where Martin O'Neill wasn't a bank holiday in the UK, so yeah, everyone's just doing their standard look back at the weekend. Hearts 3, Celtic 1 became a bit of a story. So he was on TalkSport with Jim White yesterday afternoon, and he was kind of saying, I think this could be great for the Scottish League. If Hearts win the league, you're in a great position now, ahead of Celtic. Rangers are an absolute rabble, so therefore maybe they can win it. I kind of hope the Hearts win the league. 2 hours later, he gets a call from Dermot Desmond to say, right, Brendan Rodgers is gone, and I would like you to take over and take interim charge, which is just bonkers in itself. So he's going to be assisted by Sean Maloney following the resignation of Brendan Rodgers last night. Rodgers was in talks about potentially a new contract, and Dermot Desmond is not happy with the comments that Brendan Rodgers made about that or the money that was afforded to them for transfers. But O'Neill comes in. He had 7 trophies previously when he was manager of Parkhead. That was 20 years ago when he left, a 5-year spell, which is very, very successful. Of course, they got to the final of the UEFA as well. He has ruled out taking out the job on a full-time basis. And understandably, Jim White and TalkSport earlier today had to get Martin O'Neill back on to say, why didn't you tell us this yesterday?
Who knows? Absolutely. This is it's a short-term Celtic, obviously, I think, probably are stunned by the news that that Brendan left. As a consequence, you know, they have, obviously are seeking a permanent manager. And so this is like a short-term fit. Anyway, whether it's a fix or not, it's another thing.
I mean, you're an interim charge. I wonder what that means. Does interim mean interim to you?
Yeah, interim does mean that to me, absolutely. It's really as simple as that there. Celtic are looking for, I would have assumed, a young coach coming in now who has a proven ability and would be wanting to pull the club forward now from their position as it stands. That's how I would view it. And I suppose if I was a Celtic fan, that's how I would absolutely see it.
I mean, I wonder if interim means a couple of games or until the end of the season.
Well, you know, Jim, I've always said to you on your program that I did with you yesterday, manager has to win football matches, and that's no different. And at Celtic, it's always been the case. So you have to try and win some football matches. And if we can do that, if we can win some football matches and give us, just give us a bit of a buying time, as it were, until a new man is appointed.
Fair point made by Andrew in the text as well. Interesting timing, Martin O'Neill coinciding with his new book release. He'll be adding another chapter for Christmas. He was here a couple of Saturdays ago with John Duggan talking about his new book. And I don't think Martin O'Neill could have known that he was going to be going back to Celtic at the time that he was putting the book together. But he goes to write another chapter, Ben. I mean, it's all a little bit wishy-washy, this idea of interim. So there's Falkirk, there's Rangers in the League Cup to come over the next while. I guess we got to assume he's here till at least the international window anyway.
Well, when you saw it last night, the initial reaction was shock. Then I was kind of thinking, I've read so many extracts from the book, and you read so many extracts from the book and you think, this is a man who's out of the game, this is a man who's done, his head is gone. And you see this news and you kind of think, would Martin O'Neill accept this job if he didn't have a little bit of an inkling of wanting to go beyond 2 weeks? Would Martin O'Neill really come out of retirement to go, I got you, I'll give that a crack for 2 games? Look, maybe it is. He's got an offer for him to come on Sunday. There might still be that fight in him to want to get up and do that. And no doubt he'll get a lovely acclaim from the Celtic fans when he does walk out to the dugouts. But when you read some of the extracts from that book and you've got a man who, you know, doesn't really agree with some of the tacticians and the data about current football, giving out about XG and all these other kind of bits, it is a bit odd to go in and take a job, especially at the top level.
Do you really think that Martin O'Neill is going to go in and talk about XG over the next
I think it'll be anything but XG. Look, if we know about Martin O'Neill, we know he's a man manager. Like, that's what he does, and he's going to make you feel like a million bucks, as they say, you know? So, like, it is a bit of a strange one, and I can't really see Martin O'Neill taking that gig. I know he said so many times today it's only interim, but I can't see Martin O'Neill taking that gig without going, I want to be here beyond a week.
Yeah. Now, he has said today that basically Celtic are looking for a younger man, and himself and John Maloney are going in. They're just keeping the seat warm until Celtic find the right man. But I do think it was quite interesting that Dermot Desmond rang him and went, you've 10 minutes to make your decision. Otherwise, this offer expires.
It's a bit like me and you today, Ben.
Yeah. Do you want to come on the news round? Welcome to the news round.
Will O'Callaghan or Dermot Desmond? Who can put out a tougher statement?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who has more money? Who knows? Another great marathon story coming in from Connor on the WhatsApp. Michael Fox from Newry at the weekend ran 2:19.02. He was 4 minutes off the qualification time for the Olympics. But the remarkable thing is he finished the race with 1.5 runners. His shoe fell apart with 12 miles to go. I know you were looking at the way that different people run and so on last week. My mates who ran all ran in like the oldest running shoes that they had. Like the idea of going for anything anywhere new was not the way to go. You wanted the most worn down shoe possible, which is like what I assume he has done here too.
Oh, absolutely. You can't take the risk, you know. It's like even with old GA boots, I used to take them to the cobbler. If anything happened to them in the middle of the season, they go into the cobbler in Middleton and I'd get them repaired rather than risking a new pair of boots like just before something important.
How long have you had the boots?
We won't speak about that. It's a bit embarrassing.
Okay. There are places up for grabs in the First Division playoff final in the SSE or Tristy League tonight as well. Bray Wanderers 1-0 up, heading into the second leg of their semi-final with UCD, which gets underway later this hour. You've also got Treaty United, who are 1-0 up against Cove Ramblers ahead of their match in Cork. The Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley, meanwhile, says they're staying calm about securing the SSE or Tristy League title. 3:57 for Bradley at the weekend in the marathon wasn't bad.
Not bad at all. And then to hop on a helicopter up to the Brandywell, I know he missed kickoff by 10 minutes, but like, what an inspiration, isn't it? Like, and what he's been through the last couple of years to get up and do that and to have the focus and, you know what, to kind of go, look, some things are more important than football. If I miss a kickoff by 10 minutes, to go and raise money for something that's way more important than when they get over the line for the league title, like, yeah, kudos to him.
I think the easy thing to do there as well would have been, look, we've got a big match. Unfortunately, it's now going to clash because we get into Europe. I thank you to everyone who's donated, but I'm not going to be able to run it. But we still did it.
No, he's a man of his word and he's a man of good integrity. And you kind of get that from when you speak to him after games on Friday nights, as I've done throughout the season. You do get that sort of his integrity, and he does have a bit of class about him. And he wouldn't be a man who would back out of something that he said he was going to go into. So I have full respect for both him and Glenn Curran on the weekend.
Yeah. Ben is going to Shells and Pats for us on Saturday. We've got an extended off the ball this coming Saturday. So John and Shane are going to be staying on until 7 p.m. for a longer edition this week. Our full live commentary game is the race for Europe. It's going to be Drogheda against Bohemians. So we're going to have Barry Murphy alongside Stephen Doyle for that one. And we're also going to be updates from Shamrock Rovers' last game of the season, which should include the trophy lift, not to get ahead of ourselves here. But Rovers play Galway tomorrow. Avoid defeat. They're champions. But we've been saying that for a month with the way things have gone. I still think with that 11-plus goal difference at the moment, Derry City need a miracle and a half.
It's a miracle and a half. I think the big thing with the league is that you go into the final day, or obviously we've Shamrock Rovers and Galway on Wednesday, and you have the majority of the teams in the league are still in with a hunt for their place. Like you said, we're obviously going to have commentary of Bowes versus Drogheda, but I'll be at Talca Park for Shells Pats. And because of Shell's result on Sunday, the comeback beating Bowes, it's blown the European race wide open as well, presuming that Shamrock Rovers go on and win their expected FA Cup final, which by no means is a walkover, I should add, not just because I was in Cork at the weekend, but you know, we saw what they can do to Pats in a one-off game sort of thing. And it's probably been a bit of a disappointment that Rovers, this title was wrapped up so long ago. Like, I remember being there at Talca for when they beat Shelburne early in the season, and we were there with Keith Tracy, and he was saying after the game, I think that was back in May, and he said, oh, this is done. Like, this is contest over. So that is a bit of a disappointment. And it's a bit of a disappointment that Cork City were down so soon. Like, they're a club that really need to be in the Premier Division, and the Premier Division needs a strong Cork City. That's a disappointment. But everything else has been kind of everything we could have ever asked for on League of Ireland front this season.
Other shouts in the text from the marathon stories in the weekend. The firefighters who ran with oxygen tanks on their back. Incredible. Coming in from Joe in Galway. Leo the Lion as well completed, I think, in a very impressive time. The Leinster mascot.
Did he set up Guinness World Record, I think?
Apparently the fastest mascot of all time. Now, again, I've never checked the records for the fastest mascot of all time, but I will take Leinster at their word when it came to their social media post on Sunday afternoon. Big news when it comes to some players who are going to be in and out for the next inter-county season. So, John Kiely has left Seamus Flanagan and Shane Dowling out of his squad for 2026. Shane Dowling is going to be on OTB Breakfast tomorrow, talking about that decision. I suppose he probably knew he was coming back in for 1 year. Now, Flanagan is the one that's kind of made the shockwaves, really, because he, I guess, during the end of the league, kind of dropped out of the team, and it kind of became O'Brien and Galan as a two-man forward line, but he is a five-time All-Ireland winner and still in his 20s, and unlike Dowling, who's into his 30s and had returned as a goalkeeper when Nicky Quaid was injured, bit of a surprise Rachel Flanagan is gone, isn't it?
It is, yeah, especially Shane Dowling maybe not as surprising, but when you think of that successive Limerick team, you think of Seamus Flanagan, and especially with Hannan announcing his retirement, you think you're going to need as many leaders in that squad as you can get, and the remnants of those, you know, whatever, five in a row, but it's surprising.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be a very different looking Limerick panel for next season, particularly as you say, with Declan Hannan gone as well. Noel McGrath looks like he's going to be around. I was talking to his manager, Liam Carroll, on Friday night, and he said that everyone from last season will be in. And then McGrath said after Loughmore Castellani's win against Nina Aroge on Sunday that he fully intends to head into season number 18 with the All-Ireland champions. So he said he'd love to give it another rattle. He was also named the Gaelic Writers Association Personality of the Year at the weekend. The Premier aiming to go back-to-back for the first time since the 1960s. Dingle also put their final ghost behind them as well. They were crowned Kerry football champions for the first time since 1948. It was our feature county final game here in Off the Ball at the weekend. Paul Ganey was remarkable during the match as well. They held on to beat Austin Stacks, the defending champions, by a single point in Tralee. Dingle had come up short against Dr. Crokes the last time they were in the final as well. Loch McGrory are the Tyrone senior football champions for the first time. They beat Trillick in the final by 18 points to 2-11 in Oma. Armagh also crowned a first time winner at the weekend, with Madden strolling to a 20-9 victory over Cullyhanna earlier, and not just a very good American football series. Madden now the Armagh champions as well. Cork hurling star Brian Hayes, he scored 1-2 to help Finbars beat Nemo Rangers by 114-113 in the Cork senior football final. Turns out Rachel's a good footballer too.
Oh, immense. It'll be cause for him to become a duo star once again.
Good luck trying to get him away from the hurling panel.
Finbars, one of the best duo clubs in the country.
Yeah. The Bars are very, very good at it indeed. The Wexford Senior Hurling Championship won by St. Martin's, who went back-to-back 214-116 against Rathnore. And the last piece of news coming out of today, Kilkenny's hurlers, they could be without two key players even for next season. So Hugh Lawler and Billy Ryan, both set to go travelling. Hugh Lawler's team O'Loughlin's beaten in the county final at the weekend by Ballyhale Shamrocks, but that means that TJ Reid will be sticking around, he said after the game. And fellow All-Ireland winner Owen Murphy will also be making himself available to manager Derek Ling for 2026. We will bring you some Classico talk in La Liga with Graham Hunter in a moment. But Rachel, Ben, thank you for joining us in the news round.